Reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. And in the Church Bible, you can find that on page 1161. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 13. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning to each of you. Let me add my welcome to that of Chris's. And I have the pleasure of speaking on self-control this morning. And I do like to think that Paul left the best till last. So before we start, let us pray together. Lord, as we come before you now, may we bow before you. May the mind of Christ, our Saviour, live in us, and may his love and power control all that I say and all that we hear. In the name of Christ, amen. Now, on first hearing that I was going to be preaching on the topic of self-control, I did find myself thinking, gosh, they really have got the wrong person for this one. So when I think of self-control, my mind immediately leapt to all the diets I had continually failed at, all the money I had never succeeded in saving, and the times when I had not held back what I thought of someone. Or perhaps the times when I dominated a conversation because what I had to say was obviously infinitely more valuable than what anyone else in the group had to say. So you might have gathered that self-control is not my strong suit. And if you were to look up my internet search history, you're likely to find the following question phrased in several different ways. How do I diet, how do I save and hold back with a minimal amount of effort, work and self-denial? And the list of results that normally pings back is as such. You can't. You need motivation and goals and targets and distractions to help you with all of the above. Occasionally, self-esteem might get mentioned, but all in all, self-control boils down to asserting one's own willpower and strength. But thankfully, Scripture does tell us a different story. Self-control is not about battling against things in our own strength, but submitting to Jesus, the one who Paul tells us dies for all and had love for all. Self-control is not about battling against things in our own strength, but submitting to Jesus. So let's unpack this through the reading of Corinthians today. Just as a reminder, it says this: if we are out of our minds, as some of you say, it is for God. If we're in our own right minds, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now this section to the letter to the Corinthians comes as a response to the fact that the Corinthians had started to become critical of Paul's ministry and how he was conducting it. They had begun to place spiritual symbols, such as healing and miracles, as status symbols above anything else. They no longer looked at the heart of others and the purpose and motivation of worship, but the outward signs that they were displaying. In other words, they were putting the outward signs before the inward ones. And Paul responds to them by saying that in the times when he is out of his mind, better translated as spiritual ecstasy, or rather when spiritual happenings occur, it is a matter for him and God alone, no one else, and it certainly isn't meant to be used as a status symbol. And for me, this is a fascinating insight into the way that Paul conducts his ministry. The things that we would deem as good and healthy markers for the church are sometimes the things that Paul will, on occasion, exercise self-control over so that others can also access the God that he dearly loves. And the rest of this passage also tells us that another reason Paul acts in this way is because Christ's love compels us. Now, from the Greek, we're able to understand that Christ's love does not force, it does not coerce, it does not simply exist in the past or oppress, but it encompasses us from all sides, moving us slowly into action. The image conjured up from the Greek is that of a controlling through covering someone's ears and a guarding and a holding something in custody. Christ's love compels and controls us in a way that protects us and holds us, hems and encircles us from harm. And Christ's love compels us because he is the ultimate example of someone who allowed Father God to do the same for him. And Paul writes that Jesus died for all, surrendering control of his own life to the Father in order for this to happen. And as a result, there is no need for us to face the very depths of death and sin and brokenness, for Christ is the one who ventured there first. Yes, there will be times when we come face to face with these things, when we are wounded and marred and pass through deep, dark valleys, but we are no longer slaves to the consequences of them. And because we're no longer slaves to this darkness, we become slaves to the one who is infinite light and love. And when we recognize the magnitude of this truth, we discover that we are no longer to live for ourselves, but the one who set us free. We discover that self-control in the way the world would have us understand it is no self-control at all. It is simply an enslavement to fear, to wishing we looked better, ate better, did better, and were better. It perpetuates the thought that we can do all things in our own strength, and that if we fail to hold our tongue, fail to love, fail to do what is required of us, then we too are failures. The control that we so earnestly sought clearly was not earnest enough. On the other hand, the fruit of self-control only comes through realizing that Jesus has already redeemed and restored us, held us and loved us. And so we submit to being held and guided by the one who hems us in, as a mother might cover their child's ears to protect them. And then, when we fail to hold our tongue, fail to love, fail to do what is required of us, all that is needed is that we submit again. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for Jesus' sake will find it. In receiving this grace through submitting to Christ, we in turn are then able to value and hold others as also made in God's image. Our own issues with the other fade away, and we can love them unconditionally. Self-control no longer becomes about what I can become or gain or lose, but about what the other can become or gain or lose. One account of submission and self-control, which always stays with me, is that of Mother Teresa. An activist, Shane Claiborne, recounts this particular story. People often ask me what Mother Teresa was like. Sometimes it's like they wonder if she glowed in the dark or had a halo. She was short and wrinkled and precious, maybe even a little ornery, like a beautiful wise old granny. But there is one thing that I will never forget: her feet. Her feet were deformed. Each morning in Mass, I would stare intently at them. I wondered if she had contracted leprosy. But I wasn't going to ask, of course, "Hey, Mother, what's wrong with your feet?" One day, a sister said to us, "Have you noticed her feet?" We nodded, curious. And she said, "Her feet are deformed because we get just enough donated shoes for everyone, and Mother does not want anyone to get stuck with the worst pair. So she digs through and she finds them, and years of doing that have deformed her feet." Now, I wish I could say that Mother Teresa's response would have been mine. The truth is that quite often I will find myself scrambling for the best or not thinking about others at all. At college, there's an ongoing joke, and I'm one of the worst, where people edge quickly to the front of the salad tables so that we don't get left with the dregs. Or at home, it might be losing my temper at my four-year-old. With friends, it might be sharing advice before listening to the needs of the other. And alone, well, there are far too many there to go into. This is not to say that we should forget about our own needs or put ourselves down for the sake of self-control. But I know that when I submit to love and grace and the Heavenly Father and all that He has for me, then I think less of myself and more of others. And the act of self-control feels freeing, because I no longer feel like I'm living from a place of lack, but a place of abundance and overflow. It is a place that says there is enough for everyone. And so, whilst I do love the story of Mother Teresa, I also wonder if her feet had been so deformed, if everyone she encountered held the same level of self-control and submission towards her. This morning, may you be blessed with the knowledge that you are loved and held by the one who died for you and for all. May this knowledge lead you to submit to Christ, so yourself is controlled by the one who gives you freedom. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit guide and bless your actions towards those who surround and encounter you, now and always. Amen.